The rest of you are easy. They're the real experts, you know. I'm amazed. You know, I don't know entirely what it means, but Jesus welcomed children, and he said, unless you become his children, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. And I'm pretty sure it's not because children don't have original sin. I have four children. I know better than that. But they're really perceptive and humble, and so it's wonderful. And it's wonderful to see in this congregation. For those that are fairly new, I was here quite a bit in the first couple of years until you called your first regular pastor, which was so cool. And Pastor Dave and I were classmates back in seminary a decade or two ago, I think. Or, you know, might have been 1983 when we graduated, but anyway. You know, and it just to see the growth in a lot of faces that I don't now recognize, it's a beautiful thing. And it was so exciting, by the way, some of you know this because I've said it before, but when I started to go to some gatherings of clergy and we were concerned that God's word needed to be honored and so forth, I think it was called Lutheran Core, and it gave life to the North American Lutheran Church, the NELC. I saw Dave Stephenson there, and I hadn't seen him in years. He's out in that beautiful area up in the Northwest, and so I hadn't seen him in a long time. I just got a look for Leslie. If this is the way we're starting, you're going to be here for a while tonight. I'll get going. Anyway, so I saw him again, and I'd have been shocked if I hadn't seen him there. He was such a good student, faithful, love of Christ, love of preaching the gospel. And, you know, and I'd see other people that had just been out of contact for a long time, and it's just wonderful. So it's a pleasure to be with you this evening. I'm going to try to bring all three passages in, but I'm going to concentrate on Malachi just because it's in the Old Testament, and we ought to deal with that now and then. And I want to pick out this verse, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we often know what a long, dark night is like, figuratively and sometimes literally. A night seems long. Thank you for the good news that weeping may endure the night, but joy comes in the morning, that sunrise follows the darkness. Help us to be ready that it is indeed sunlight, warmth, and comfort, and not a day of terror as we look forward to your return. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And everyone said, the psalmist captures it well in a verse when he intones, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And who can't relate to that this evening? Have we not all experienced nighttime in one way or another? And is not our life in this age, there's a lot of wonderful things that can happen at night, but is not our life in this age one long darkness? Without all the illumination. And if we don't know that, I'll guarantee you that the abundant life that Jesus promised that we will fully experience when he returns again, we'll look back on this life and we'll see some good and some joy. But we'll look back and say, wow, that was life? Only partially at best. It was like we were zombies. I mean, we have so much to look forward to because of the amazing promises God has made through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. But this life is a nighttime, a place of darkness. Light has pierced the darkness, but it's still incredibly dark in this age, and we all experience it, I believe. Can you say amen to that? I'm a Lutheran pastor that likes amen, but Luther says amen means yes, it shall be so. So that's a good thing to say. Why, you know, the Baptist shouldn't be the only one to be able to say that. Amen? Amen. All right. This age has also been called a veil of tears. That is veil as in valley. valley of tears. And that's a part of living life in this age. And so what we have at the end of the church year, and next Sunday is Christ the King Sunday, and it's the culmination of the church year. The church year starts, by the way, did you know it? At the end of November this year with the first Sunday in Advent. Appropriately, as we come to the end of this church year, the texts start resonating with the end of this temporal age and the promise of the Lord's return, the day of the Lord, as spoken of in the Old Testament. What we confess in the creed that we'll confess again tonight, in the second article of the creed, where we say he will come again to... Yeah, that's the day of the Lord, the promised return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for the Christian, for those grounded in faith, for those who have ears to hear the wonderful promises that bring faith and cause faith to spring up in our hearts, it is something we look forward to. So that a prayer from early on in the church in Aramaic was Maranatha. Anybody know what Maranatha is? I like to get people working with me, and I didn't get my outline tonight. Anybody know what Maranatha is? A prayer that you would find in 1 Corinthians 16 and Revelation 22. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Are you looking forward to his coming? I can always think of reasons I'm looking forward to, but it could be postponed a little bit. We got another grandchild on the way in March, you know. Like if he comes, we're going to miss anything, but I'm human. But that's been the eager expectation of the church from the very beginning. The great hope. It's when flashlights give way to the brilliant sunrise and don't have to be guided by lesser illumination, but with the great illumination of the Word become flesh that makes everything brilliant. Here's the passage I'm thinking of from 2 Peter 1:19. Peter writes, and we have something more sure, the prophetic word to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Here's the question tonight, and it faces all of us. What kind of a day will the day of the Lord be? And here's where I want to go to our Malachi text, and we seem to get two different answers here. The reading, again, that was read very well. Let me remind you, it starts out, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, said the Lord of hosts, so that it will neither leave them root nor branch. Sounds terrifying. A day of terror. What kind of a day will that be? It could be a day of terror, and it will be for evildoers and the arrogant. That's picked up in other places, by the way. I'll just give you one passage from Zephaniah, where this anticipated day by people that were arrogant and weren't trustful of the Lord and his guidance and his word. I read from Zephaniah 1:14-15, the great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. What kind of a day will it be? A day of terror? But Malachi also talks about it being a great day of warmth and comfort. And he uses these words. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. I can get that picture. I didn't grow up on a farm, calves leaping out of the stall. It seems like when cows get older, they don't leap and do much at all unless they get a really good scare. But I can kind of get that picture. I'm green. I've grown up in the Midwest, but I can kind of see that picture, the anxiousness to get out of the stall. I don't know about the Son of Righteousness. It's S-U-N, Son of Righteousness. What little study I did here is there was an image, and it may have come from Egyptian art, of a sun disk rising and with wings like the rays that go out. And it appears that it was common art and used on some artifacts that were common to the Hebrew people, to ancient Israel, and started to stand for not some sun god, but the Creator God, the Lord God Almighty, and that his rising on the day of the Lord would be a sunrise, the sun that gives life to all the living, the sun that brings illumination, the sun that brings warmth. With the rays, you just kind of can picture. I remember as a kid, can you do such things as an adult? Of liking to go where the sun's rays were coming through the window and leaving its pattern on the carpet and just getting into those sun rays and just kind of feeling the radiant warmth, okay? Am I weird? Have you been there? Can you relate to it? To get into that sunbeam ray. I mean, this is a wonderful picture here of a very welcoming image after darkness. And so, you know, there and the calf jumping out of the stall. And here's something, maybe we don't talk about it, but boy, the Psalms are great with this. It's a day where our enemies are done in and we trample them underfoot. Should we be excited about something like that? I think we will be. Of course, we pray for the conversion and the love God has for each person. He died for the sins of all the world. But there's no punches pulled. Did you catch it in the gospel lesson? We have enemies, and they wreak havoc. And maybe our media doesn't cover it a lot, but the persecution of Christians in our age is as bad as it's ever been. And a lot of us feel that there's a growing hostility toward Christian faith and our own culture, and may have experienced that. We have enemies in the world. Our Lord Jesus had enemies in this world. And so Paul, in our second reading, I'm trying to weave a lot in here, but he started out in there, finally, brothers, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith. Did you notice that there are wicked and evil? I think sometimes frustrating to me, trying to promote and to proclaim the great Christian faith, is we've lost even a sense, a real sense of sin. Real sense of evil, real wickedness that wreaks havoc and can possess and take over and struggle with each one of us in our breasts. I think some people think maybe this system needs a little tweaking. Maybe there's a political solution to things. Maybe there's some institution to blame, because we must be pretty good right at the heart and right at the core, not what Christianity teaches and not what our Lutheran confessions pick up on. There is real evil. There is real wickedness, and it infects all of us. But there's healing and forgiveness in Christ, and we have enemies. And so that you heard in our gospel reading, but before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. That's been happening all through the latter days, which started with the first advent of our Lord. Do you know that we're in the latter days? There are people that sell books and get all excited at talking about maybe we're into the latter days, and maybe they're about ready to start, and there's a sign. You know, I hate to break it. I hope you know we've been in the latter days all along. Since Christ's advent, first advent, as we look for his second return, okay? And then again in our gospel reading, you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. Man, that's what I'm trying to hold the Lord to there. There's some things that perish in this lifetime, but I'm expecting a full crop of hair again in the resurrection. He's looking out, you know? But in this age, we have some enemies. So if we really understand that, the enemies will either be converted, and that should be our earnest hope, or they're going to be ashes. And so we hear in Malachi, and you shall tread down on the wicked. That doesn't happen always in this age. It goes the other way all too often. But when the Son of Righteousness comes with healing in its wings, you will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Is this great stuff? This promise, this hope, either a terror or great comfort. And you know what the difference is. You know when Malachi talks, but for you who fear my name, who revere my name, you know it's all about faith, right? Amen? We read in Hebrews 10:38, but my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. It's all about faith. And when I talk about faith, I talk about trust. But it isn't just trust in general. It's trust in whom? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And the work that he accomplished for our salvation, which was his death on the cross for the what? The forgiveness of our... Oh, there's that wickedness and that sin that the modern age doesn't want to deal with. But God has a remedy for that if we're not arrogant and wanting to persist in wickedness, but take his verdict and humble ourselves. And in contrition, confess our sins. And he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all. Well, you know the promise. But we need to keep hearing it over and over again, because it's in the hearing it that we start to believe it, because we consider the one who's making these promises. And it is so wonderful what he promises us. And so it's the faith who are the ones who revere, and they are the ones who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm throwing a lot of scriptures in, but I'm getting close to the end. Peter again, he said, you are ransomed not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Yeah. His death on the cross, his blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins. So here's where I want to end. The end of our gospel lesson, we heard these words, when you see these things begin to take place, and they've been taking place, okay? I think they'll even crescendo more when Jesus actually returns. But there have been a lot of times there's been great crescendoing, and we think, this must be it, you know? But when we see these things begin to take place, that is when we see the persecution, and we see the tribulations, and when we see all the cataclysmic things that happen, and when kingdoms come and they go, as they have since the beginning of the time, the word for us is straighten up, raise up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. God's in control. And the Son of Righteousness will rise. Now, the image there seems to be a kind of an alertness to people that are looking forward to something. The best way I know to describe it right now is you take a night watchman and looking over a place. If he or she doesn't straighten up and be alert, not going to be very effective. If slouched in a chair looking at the feet, dozing off, the surprise isn't going to be a pleasant one if somebody breaks in, right? Better to straighten up, lift up the head, be alert, get up, walk around, get the flashlight, and so on and so forth. I think that's a little bit what's going on in the second lesson, too. As Christians, we can't get lazy and be busybodies. It's important to be a part of our vocations. That's how we serve Christ. Wherever we're at, obeying his commandments, out of gratitude and loving our neighbor, loving God and loving our neighbor, and being about that is being alert. So we heard in our second reading, for we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. Straighten up, raise up your head, be alert, be about the things, look for my return. So I'm going to close with where I started a little bit with our young people. Is this week deer hunting season right now for Minnesota? Lucky, what a nice warm week, although it's not as good a tracking weather. I wonder if it's going to hold out. Next Saturday in the morning, whether it does any good or not, I'm going to sneak into the woods under the darkness of night and try not to disturb the scene too much and slip up into my stand a good while before daylight, then try to stay warm and stay alert and to straighten up. I'll stand up and down a number of times. My goal is always to stay in the stand a little past when most people get out and have coffee. That starts anywhere at 8, 8:30, 9, 9:30. I try to be a diehard, because when people get out of their stand, that sometimes moves the deer around a little bit. This has been so successful. I'm 61. I've shot one deer. But anyway, that's my plan. I've fallen asleep before, by the way, but to stay alert and everything. But I will begin to look forward. And one of the things is getting in early. You think, wow, I'm so worn out by the time sun comes up. I'm cold and shivering and wish I had coffee and everything else. I got to, you know. But the sun, looking forward, because until the sun comes up, I can't see what I'm about. But it's not so great for the whitetail when the sun comes up. They suddenly get exposed. When Jesus comes again and the sun rises on the dawn of a new age, how will it be received? For those who trust in him and are looking forward to the illumination, it'll be great. For those who want to stay hidden and concealed, it'll be a day of terrible disclosure and being exposed for all to see. So I close with this, but as for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everyone said, amen. I don't know what's next. A hymn.